thank you again. You're tuning into WRLR. .fm. That's 98.3 The Life. You're listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove, and we come at you every single Monday night at 7 o'clock to talk about your job, your career, your vision made clear, the skills that you hone for the business that you own, the smile. You like this? I'm doing this from memory today. All right.
Sorry, the ups and
downs. That's all right. The ups and downs, the smiles and frowns, where you're at and where you're bound. I'm on the quest to bring you the industry best, and today I have a very special guest.
You do?
Yes, but she couldn't make it, so Tiffany's here instead. That was good. That was good. That was worth laughing at.
Was it really good?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. All right. So today, well, you know what we do is on Bacon Bits every week, what we do is we talk to some industry experts. We talk business experts about their expertise. Next week is my special guest is Ronald Curtis Grace. He has been asking to be a guest on the show, and we're going to be talking about preparing young kids for their future careers. So that's going to be pretty cool.
It's going to be a good one.
Yes, and the week after, I have the CFO of A&M Woodland Landscaping. We're going to be talking about finance, the financing of your business, financing before you start, during, and everything about the money management part of business.
You actually know a CFO?
Yeah, can you believe that?
I know
lots of people with initials after their name. Wow. All right, and so today what we're going to be doing is we're talking to Tiffany, and this is part three, of a 10-part series about taking your side hustle to success. Now, let me define that a little bit for people who are just tuning in, who you might have missed the first couple of them. But on our podcast, which is Bacon Bits with Master Happiness, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find all the episodes on my website, masterhappiness.com/live, or you go to where the blog posts are, and there's a whole section about business growth there where you can see all of these. But the reason we're doing this is to tell people that sometimes we have a side hustle that we want to turn into a business, and we want to one day say, I'm going to quit everything I'm doing and I'm going to make a living at that side hustle. I'm going to turn that into a full-fledged business and it'll be wonderful. And sometimes the side hustles, how we determine they're successful, is that they just make us some extra money. It's something that we enjoy doing, and we're making some extra cash. Maybe that extra cash is to help us buy a car. Maybe it's to help us travel, to go on vacation, something like that. Or it's just little extra pocket money. And sometimes people make very little money on their side hustle, but they do it because they absolutely love what they're doing. And so we're going to be talking about this crucial step in a side hustle. If you want to be successful, or even moderately successful, you need to be able to write a business plan.
So, in other words, Marty's going to be telling me what to do so I could start my side hustle.
Yes, exactly. So We talked in a couple of, what was our first couple of episodes about on your side hustle to success? There, I'm throwing a simple question to Tiffany, because we sat and talked an hour 5 weeks ago and an hour 5 weeks before, very specific subject matter. And let's see if she remembers. Let's see if the points I was making for little Tiffany here, if the points I've drilled home and made her really, captivated her. And did she do her homework?
Okay.
All right.
I believe the first one was what I get enjoyment doing.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And maybe somehow start something with things that I enjoy to do.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Finding your values, your passion, right? Perfect, perfect. And then what was the second one? That was the one that was in between the first one and the one we're doing now.
Who is going to be my target audience or customer?
Wow, fantastic. Defining your audience. Awesome, okay. Awesome. All right, good job. All right, so this is really good. Now, these are the first couple of things. The reason I wanted you to start with those two things is determining your passion, what you wanted to do, is because before you jump into a side hustle, you don't just want to do something for the sake of making money, because it's going to be a nightmare to work a full-time job, come home and say, now I'm going to spend a couple hours doing something I don't enjoy. So we find things that we really are passionate about, something we just enjoy doing, something that puts a smile on our face. So this way, it's more of a labor of love. Okay, so that's the number one part. Now, secondly, is we take a look at our audience. What is our ideal audience? Who are we selling to? Because that's a really good idea to say, is our product sellable? Because sometimes people are like, oh, I got this great idea. And then when you sit there and you think about who's going to buy it, and you realize, oh, no one's going to buy it.
Everyone that has a pet chinchilla.
Exactly. Yeah, it's chinchilla and like nail clippers. Right. It's very nice. So what you need is those kind of things are good to address early on. And now we're going to get into writing a business plan. So, Tiffany, while we're doing this, what I want you to do is we're going to break it down like we do all the time into five steps, although there's more than five steps in writing a proper business plan. But we're going to cover a bunch of the stuff right now today, and we're going to kind of go off on tangents and explain some of the other things that are necessary. And I want you to think about your side hustle, Tiffany, something I'm hoping one day you'll actually share at least more of your side hustle with us, but that's okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Like that. Okay. All right. Yes. Someday.
I was gonna give part of it.
Okay. Good. Good. Because then what I'd like you to do is kind of tell us a little bit when we're going through these steps, how you're going to do this, how you envision this, and let's see if we can work through. What I also did was I'm going to try to take these steps and do two different things. We're going to talk about a pretend restaurant, as well as a pretend like a painting business. Something like that.
Just so, or maybe like a t-shirt company?
We could do that, but maybe. Why don't you talk about the t-shirt company? All right, that would be cool to do. All right, so first off, some of the reasons we need a business plan. All right, so Tiff, I'm going to throw it back at you. Why do you think you need a business plan? What would be some of the key reasons for this?
So you could go step by step. You have organization or being organized and going step by step.
Perfect. Yes.
What is the next step to do?
Yes.
Because I can't call you all the time to find out what my next step is.
You can call me. I just won't answer all the time. That's the difference. But you're absolutely right. What you want to do is one of the reasons is you have to view it as kind of like an instruction booklet or instructions in a board game where they're telling you all the things you have. Okay, and the step-by-step how to play this game. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's going to talk about the other players in the game and what winning looks like.
Well, that's kind of neat how to...
Yeah, it's a simple... Yeah.
Say it like that.
And if you write the business plan, make sure you cover all of those little areas. So you're absolutely right. It's going to take you through the step-by-step. How do I do this? And then how do I do this? And what's cool about this is if you address that early on in the business, very soon, very quickly, what happens is... you start facing or you start seeing the problems before they actually arise. And you go, oh, well, what happens about this? How do I have to do this? Oh, I forgot I need one of these things. So you lay it all out. So that's a perfect example. That's number one is your instructions, your layout, your organization of or to organize your thoughts or the process to doing business. What do you think are some of the other things? And one of them is very close to that. But it's important. And I'll be talking more about that in 2 weeks to the financial guy. So there's a little hint. What do you think? What do you think is another reason we really want a business plan?
Oh, see, you put me on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. That's all right. That's all right. And look, I'll make it even worse. I'll put the camera on you, too.
No, oh, come on.
All right, there you go. So here, I'll lead you down this.
Okay.
So what we want to do is use it as a financial compass, okay? In other words, we want to set this up so that aside from just telling us what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, but how much are we going to hope to make? How much money do we have to invest? Where we need? Like, how much money do I need? Because it's not only money that you need to survive yourself, let's say, but how much money do you need to buy products? How much money do you need to advertise to customers, etc.?
Okay.
So that's really important.
Money.
Yes. So it's going to take a close look at your step-by-step, what I plan to do. And then another really good thing is it's got to take a close look at your dollars. Because what you're going to do in a business plan is you are going to reflect where you're at, where you started, okay, what your financial position is when you start, how you're going to start spending the money, what you're hoping to get in back with spending that money. So you're going to take a look at forecasting your sales in the future. What am I going to be like in 6 months? What's it going to be like in a year? You know, because if you're not forecasting the dollars, okay, what good is being in business if it's not making any money? You know, so what you really want to do is forecast next year. What am I looking? How much am I going to grow if I start now? How much am I going to grow by the end of this year?
But how do you know that?
You have to. That's why it's forecast. It's If you don't have a clue, if you don't have an idea, then you have to dig into it more. Because what you're going to do is you're going to take a look at potential customers. You're going to take a look at the way that you're going to advertise. You're going to talk to people who do things that are similar to you. And you start making educated guesses. Okay, you can't just say, I'm going to do this, and I might make money or I might not make
money. I could understand that you're trying to figure out how much money you need. So you need a certain amount of money to start up because you need, let's take t-shirts.
Yes, that's a great idea.
You have to buy the shirts. You have to, the printing,
yep.
The advertising. So I could understand.
Well, let me ask you this, because you've done forecasting right here, is how many t-shirts are you buying? Because you must have an idea of how many you think you can sell, because you're not going to buy a million t-shirts, and you're not going to buy one t-shirt. So you have to have kind of a middle range where you might find where you're going to sell the t-shirts, okay, and kind of dig into saying how much inventory do I need to hold in order to make this feasible, in order to meet demand.
I don't know if I would know the answers to those.
Well, it takes a little experimenting. And let's put it this way. You're also going to take a look at the numbers and to say, is it worth me doing if I'm only going to sell one t-shirt a month? So first off, is it worth you doing all of this work for one t-shirt a month?
Well, are you going to buy a shirt from
not me.
I would have no clue.
Let's put it this way.
Buy.
No, right. But no, would it be worth you starting your business, doing all of this, all your promotion, everything, if all you were going to do is sell one t-shirt a month?
At least then I would know.
No, but would it be worth it? If the prediction was you could only sell one t-shirt, would you do it? Or would you say, this is a silly business. I shouldn't bother with it. It's too much work just to sell one t-shirt.
I know where you're going at it.
Yeah.
You want me to say, no, it's not worth it.
Right.
But.
All right. Don't go. All right. So what I want you to do is you have to understand. So when you go to buy shirts, you have to say, at some point, you have to say, it is only worth me doing this if I could sell 100 t-shirts. It's only worth me doing this if I could sell 1,000 t-shirts. Because you have to create some type of a goal for yourself, some type of idea to go, this is where I want to get to. Because if you're saying, I'm going to start this business, and if people buy from me, they buy from me. If they don't buy from me, they don't buy from me. Then you will never be able to gauge success.
I guess I would want, depending on how much each t-shirt would cost me or how much money I'm putting into it, that is the money that I would need to get out of it.
You would at least that much.
At least
right,
that
right.
Much.
And so what you have to do is you have to come up and say, in order for you, let me put it this way, in order for you to feel your t-shirt business was a success, let's say you started it today.
Okay.
And so you've got the rest of the year. But how many t-shirts would you want to sell by the end of the year? Want to sell, really. It's just what you feel like you want to sell by the end of the year to make you feel like your first attempt at a side hustle. And it could be a small number. This is your number. Nobody's going to go, that number's wrong, that number's right, unless you tell me you're going to sell 100 million t-shirts. Then I might go, well, let's take a closer look at that. But what number of t-shirts would make you feel like, wow, this is pretty cool. I think this could take off. I think 2025 could be even better. Like, what number of t-shirts do you think?
Okay, a number that's coming out at me is 1,000.
Okay, cool. That's good. All right.
Because that means 1,000 people out there think
perfect.
They're funny.
Like I said, that's cool. Nobody can say that number is wrong for you. That's the number of your business and how you want to grow. Okay. When they expand McDonald's, okay, and they say, hey, we're going to open a new location of a McDonald's somewhere, they have very specific numbers because they have so much data from other McDonald's all over the place. And they go, so based on this, with this type of demographic here, with these people who spend X amount of dollars, okay, and these people also with that income spends this much money going out to eat. And they have a tendency to go to fast food. They can find that demographics because you compare it to all the other McDonald's all over the country, right? And they can say, so if we put a McDonald's on this corner, we can take a look at the demographics of all the people around us, and we can say, oh, yeah, this makes sense. So we can guesstimate we will sell this much. That doesn't mean you will definitely do that. It's a good guesstimate. You know, you're guessing on how much we think we can do. So what you're doing is you're saying, based on this, based on the legitimacy of the how it makes sense. 1,000 t-shirts. If I could sell 1,000 t-shirts this year, I would feel like I'm really doing a great job. Okay, now what I want you to say.
Oh, no, another question. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. What I want you to do is take a look at this. What would be the least amount, the smallest number that you would still say this is worth pursuing? Because during this time of doing this, you're going to be making mistakes. You're going to be advertising places. You're going to try things. They're not going to work. You're going to maybe jump from printer to printer because maybe the printer, the quality is no good. They're going to make mistakes. Unexpected costs are going to come up, all kinds of stuff. So what do you think is the minimum amount of t-shirts that you would say, wow, I could learn, if I learned a bunch of stuff and improved the way I can do it, all right, I would still consider myself a success if I sold how many t-shirts by the end of the year?
Oh, gosh, okay. 200.
All right, awesome, good, good. I told you there's no right or wrong answer. This is your business. Remember how we talked about McDonald's, how big McDonald's is? When a person opens up a hot dog stand somewhere, right, whether it's a food trailer or just a little stand somewhere, he does not look at the same numbers that a McDonald's does. He looks at a much smaller market and goes, I'm going to serve these people. I like this street because a lot of traffic goes down. People are going to be, I'm going to open at lunchtime, et cetera. So they look at their own numbers based on where they want their business to grow. So this is good. 200 would be the minimum as long as you were learning, as long as things were happening. You were like, okay, I tried that. That didn't work. This kind of worked. This didn't work. So let me change some things. So now the flip side is what would be the number of t-shirts that you could sell this year, again, that you would go, oh my God, it's unbelievable, but a feasible number. Again, don't say I sold 100 million t-shirts, but what would be the number that you would be like, wow, this is exciting, this is tremendous?
Okay, another number is just popping in my head.
Yeah.
5,000.
Awesome, perfect. All right, so now
that would be like, wow.
Yeah, oh, no kidding, right? That would be incredible, right? All right, so now you've got some projections, you've got some ideas of numbers that you would like to hit, the number that would be incredible, off the charts, the number that's a more reasonable, because now suddenly 1,000 doesn't sound so bad, right? 1,000 sounds like that's a legitimate number. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to sell 1,000 shirts. But if knowing that I'm just starting this and I'm going to run into a lot of problems and hidden costs and ideas that I never thought of, if I could sell 200 shirts, man, I know that I'm on the right track. And I'm going to do that much better next year. So we won't even forecast next year. We won't do that. So what we do is now we say, what would it take me? So it's going to be May soon. So we got May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So that is 8 months, right? 8 months to sell 1,000 t-shirts. Oof. Okay. Don't say oof. Say yeah.
Yeah. Let me get the calculator
All
out.
All right. All right. So it's a little more than 100 a month, right? So it's like, 120 a month or
okay,
something like
we'll
that?
We'll go with that.
Okay. You could do it with the calculator. That's all right. I believe you. What is it?
Oh, you
put the calculator there?
I put the calculator.
All right. Anyway, so now keep in mind, you're not going to sell necessarily 120 this first month.
No. Nope.
Because you're just starting. Okay. But you might also have your big banner month right away in the beginning. When you blitz and you sell everything, your friends and family, they hear about it and they share
it. The first month selling my 1,000 and then I'm done for the year.
And then you're done. You take a vacation, right? Okay. So part of your business plan on the financial end is now you have to say, what would I have to, how much money would I have to put aside to print 1,000 shirts? And in order to print 1,000 shirts, let me do some math as far as how many are going to be mediums, how many are larges, how many are extra larges, how many are smalls, and how many are double X's, how many are women's styles, how many men's styles. So you have to start doing that because 1,000 shirts, you're not going to sell 1,000 mediums men's
right.
shirt.
What about somebody told me something called print on demand.
Yes, yes. So there is print on demand. You will make less money at it, mm-hmm. okay? But they can take care of everything for you. They can take
so
care
I
of the printing.
So I won't have any inventory.
No inventory at all. Correct. And what they will do, and there's a couple different types of print by demand. There are some that work a lot with charities. And so what they do is they say, go ahead and sell as many shirts as you can for the next 2 weeks. And then we batch print them all at once. And then we ship them out. Other places say, we will print one shirt. As soon as someone orders it, we'll print it and ship it. We'll print it and ship it. Okay? So there's two different ways of going about it. And, you know, I can share some names of places that you should take a look at that do print on demand. And that's a really good way to start, because then it gets you practicing your promotion.
And what sizes sell better, if men or women sell better.
And not to mention, what you're doing is you're basically partnering with a printing business.
Right.
Okay, you're partnering with them, that those are the specialists in printing those, and they can give you some guidelines. And they're going to say, look, historically, this is the size that always prints. You can take a look and say, so which one in women's sizes, which are the ones that that sell the most, and men's sizes. And they'll give you a lot of that data. And then what ends up happening is, as you grow, you start looking at it and saying, am I ready to start printing on my own?
Right.
So okay. it's a perfect step for you. So
okay.
Let's jump back to this really quick. So we talked about two of the reasons we need a business plan. One is a closer look, or the step-by-step, the instructions of how we're going to run our business. And the next one is our financial compass. It keeps track of how much money we need to survive. Okay. Now imagine, this is a side hustle for you, Tiffany.
Right.
So you're looking at excess, extra money. So you want to make sure you're not throwing money away.
We don't want to throw money away.
No. But imagine if you said, we're going to jump right into this, and you're going to tell Mark, quit your job. Mark, you and I were doing the t-shirt business full time. This is all of our income. Think of how much more difficult that would be, because you really have to watch the finances very closely, and you have to make some strong projections. You have to make quick decisions so that money can start coming in, okay? And so this is where what ends up happening is you say, well, if we're both going to devote all of our time to making this work and we have no other income, I need investors.
Oh,
okay?
Investors.
Which is the third reason a business plan is really important. Because before an investor says, I'm going to give you this money, they want the answers to all these questions. They want to see your game plan. And are you really going to do this?
Now, an investor, do they want a percentage of what you get, or do they want to get paid back?
There's different types of investors. Some of them, you can go to banks.
Like a loan.
Yeah, you can go to a bank and get a loan. You can go to venture capitalists, okay? Angel investors. There's plenty of people who have money that they say, I want to invest in.
They have so much money, they just want to invest in
something. They've heard so much about Tiffany. All right. So they have this money and they want to invest in things because they know they can make something back. But these people, the investors, the side investors like venture capitalists, angel investors, etc., they want a big portion of it back, or they want a portion of your business. Okay. If they're asking for a portion of your business, that's sometimes a really good sign, because that means they really believe in your business.
But then they have a say in it.
Yes. But as long as you keep, and as long as your guidelines in your business are written out clearly, you can still be the voice. If you own 51%, even if all the other investors together only order.
Okay, so let's say I own 51% and the investor owns 50%, and they say,
that would be 101. So they have to order 49.
Yes. I'm sorry. All right. 49%. And they say, Tiffany, we want all the t-shirts to be gray only.
If you own 51%.
I could say no.
Yes, right, because you're the majority.
Right, okay.
Right, so you,
okay.
On a regular vote.
Okay.
Now, you'd have to talk to an attorney if there's some other way they can go about this, or with something like that. And there might be.
That sounds hard.
But in day-to-day, you own the majority. What they're looking for is an investor is not going to want 49% unless they're investing a lot of money. They're going to probably want 5%, 10%, 25%. But they're doing that because they trust you. They're going to want to sit on your board of directors, or they're going to want to sit on the board and give you advice, but they're going to hope that you just make the right decisions. And they're going to push you in this way because they know, as owning part of it, they're going to get dividends.
Want more than me selling 1,000 t-shirts.
Probably, but I don't know. You know, if the person invests $100 and you sell 1,000 and they get their 100 back really quickly, and now they own part of the business and they keep growing, they might not ask for much more.
Yeah.
Now, if you sell 1,000 but they've invested $1 million in your business, I think they come knocking on your door. Okay. All right. So, here's the main three reasons for the business plan, to wrap them up.
Okay.
Is first, a financial compass. So it teaches us how much money we need in the beginning, how much money we need throughout. Talking about alongside with the money, it shows us right away, do I need investors? It's the perfect piece to hand to investors to say, would you be interested in investing in my company? Because here's everything we're going to do. Here's the entire landscape. And the third thing is it's the closer look for yourself. You look at every single thing. You're looking at what it is you're hoping to do, what your goals are, what your competition is like, how you're going to do this, how you're going to finance it. It's all the little pieces put together. It's like I said, the instructions of playing a board game.
Okay? I don't know if this show is going to be the show to talk about this, but like a corporation or a partnership.
Yeah, that's not yet. We might get into that a little bit, and we'll cover that definitely later on. I'm going to have an attorney coming in here talking about business
end
of it.
Okay,
but it's between the attorney as well as an accountant.
Okay,
because they're going to talk about how to incorporate your business, the different ways to incorporate them, the pluses and minuses of each, you know, the pros and cons of each. But usually for a small business like yourself, and I'm going to say this, and again, I'm not an attorney, I'm not an accountant, but my company is an LLC. So it's a limited liability company. And basically what it does is it protects my personal assets from my company. So I make all my purchases and everything through my LLC as its own entity. Okay. And then there's certain ways that you pay taxes, et cetera. But that's a whole different show. So you're absolutely right. It's a different show.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, this is really good. We've covered quite a bit here just on the importance of a business plan. And the reason I didn't mind taking a lot of time, because now it's almost the bottom of the hour here. The reason I didn't mind taking so much time on this is because as I'm doing this, I'm looking around for the there we go. I'm looking around for the mouse for our little break here.
The cat ate it.
Yeah, that's the reason I don't mind talking that long about this is because a business plan, like I explained a little earlier, is one of those things that many businesses ignore. The owners, they start a business, especially a side hustle, and you go, I don't need a business plan. I'm making good money here. This is good. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and keep making money.
It's paying for my trips.
Yeah, exactly. So you sit there and you go, I don't really need to do anything. I don't need to do anything formal. But I encourage everyone to push it a little bit and try to do something a little more formal so that you get a better idea about what it is that you're actually doing. And are you losing money? And is there something, a better way to do certain things? Okay, when do you need help? When do you need to hire somebody? All of these kinds of things. Projections of where you want to go. And I always talk about the idea of running a race. What good would be running a marathon race if you didn't know where the finish line was, if the finish line wasn't defined? Okay.
But you also have to say about, you could also hire a business coach.
Yes, you can definitely hire a business coach.
I mean, you can't, seriously. I mean, I joke around because you are a business coach.
Yes.
But it's difficult for someone like what you're saying, because this is a lot of work.
Yes.
But it's nice to have a business coach, because then you could say, okay, Tiff, what you're doing right now.
Exactly.
This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This is what, thanks, Marty.
Right.
And then I can do it.
And a business coach, you're absolutely right. And a business coach, in fact, last night, yesterday, and today, I was working with another company, helping them write their business plan.
Okay. Oh, a brand new business.
Yes, yes. And so laying it all out, and it was just like I said, you're asking those tough questions, and a lot of the questions they were hit by, I don't know. I don't know. Well, you have to know, because if you're looking to use this to get money from somebody else, you need to know the answers to those questions, or at least a educated guess of what the answer is going to be. You need a projection of what you're going to be doing in the future. Why would I want to invest money in you just because you go, I got a really good idea, okay? Yeah. You need more than that. And so if you think about that, if a bank wouldn't invest money in you because the best you've got is, I got a good idea, trust me, why would you put your own money into it without a plan? Okay, you work really hard for your money, I'm assuming, right? Well, I work hard enough for my money, and I treasure my money. I don't want to throw it away. I don't have enough money to burn, okay? So what I look at it is, before I invest my money into anything, I want to make sure that it's going in the right place. So I want to make sure I have a plan on what I want to do, what I'm expecting to do, step by step by step. So that's why a business plan helps us out all the time, okay? You got it?
I think so.
All right. All right. Well, you know what, Tiff? I'm going to take a momentary little break just to say thank you to some of the people who...
make this happen.
Yeah. I like the way that sounds. We should use that, right? And we are back.
Illinois.
In case you didn't know where we were. That's right. So I am back. Thank you again for tuning in to WRLR 98.3 FM, The Life. You're listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove, and my guest today is the wonderful, the awesome Tiffany.
Tiffany!
There she is. We're talking about turning your side hustle into success. This is the third episode of a 10-part series, and we're talking about writing a business plan. If you missed the first half, we really talked about the why of a business plan, which is really, really important. If you missed the first half, definitely I want you to tune into our podcast, which is Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. It'll be live later this week, and you should be able to just learn a little bit about this. But if you're contemplating starting your own business, taking your little side hustle, or just deciding to start selling some wares, something that you're doing, something that you're making, a service that you can provide, start with writing the business plan. So we're going to jump right back into this. So Tiffany, we have not done the bacon yet today. And we're going to jump right into this. We're going to lay this whole thing out, and it's going to be a little repeat of what we're talking, but we're going to go a little bit into the nitty-gritty here.
Okay? B-A-C-O-N?
That is it. We're not talking about the bacon for chewing.
We're not?
No.
The bacon for doing.
There you go. That's right. So every week on this show, what we do is we use the acronym B-A-C-O-N as a guideline, an outline for what we're talking about. And so today, on speaking about writing a business plan, the B stands for this. Begin with the baseline.
Ooh, that's
okay?
A good one.
This is where we're starting from. That's your baseline, where you're starting from. A is attuned to your audience. All right? And you've already done that. You know your audience backwards and forwards. C is going to be clarity in your concepts. Okay? Making sure that what you hope will happen can actually happen. O is for outline a solid operation. Okay? And N is the near and far future projections. All right, so we're going to kind of talk about all these things. The most important thing that we talked about in the past half an hour before our little break there was the importance of a business plan. And that was for giving us an outline, a kind of a description of how we're going to do our day-to-day, what we need to do, which coaches or mentors or help we need to hire to make sure that we're a success. So that's when lays out everything. And it's great to lay out everything from where we're in the beginning all the way to where we want to go. So this way we cover all the possible mistakes and uncover things that we're like, oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah, exactly. We get to make those noises. next is it also is a financial compass for us. It tells us how much money we need to start, how much money we may need to reinvest if something goes wrong or if something goes right, how much money we plan on making, when we can repay that money that we put into the business, etc. And then third, of course, is where are we getting that money? Maybe we're getting it from a bank. From
Marty Jalove.
There you go. Oh, yeah, that's right, because I'm rolling in it, baby. Where are we getting the money? The investors, the bank, friends and family, whoever, they're going to want to know your plan. So that's why a business plan is really good to handle those people and saying, this is what I'm going to do, and this is why we're going to succeed, and this is why if you give me this money, you're going to get great dividends. You're going to get a big payback. All right, so Tiffany, right back in here, I want to start talking about this whole thing. Oh, so the letter B is begin with your baseline, okay? And what we're talking about here is to start your business, you're like planning a voyage, right? You need to know exactly where you are starting, all right? Everything about it. You're going to be talking about things like, what's your particular knowledge? Now, you're talking about starting a T-shirt business,
okay,
right?
Okay, yes.
So your knowledge on T-shirts is you've worn T-shirts, right? Have you ever printed T-shirts?
Actually, kind of back in my teenage years, when you'd go into those beach stores.
Yes.
And you could get shirts made up.
Okay. All right. So you've done that. So you know a little bit about it. But that's
for my personal
right,
use.
Right. Exactly. So what you need to do is you have to kind of understand. So you're entering this with a small amount of knowledge.
Yes.
Okay. But bundles, tons of passion. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. So there you go. So this is good. So this is important to know. These are some of the things you need to know. You need to know where you are financially. You need to know what your knowledge base is. You need to know what your competition is. You need to know where your audience or where your customers are. These are the things you start outlining in your business plan. Okay? All that kind of stuff.
And it sounds hard.
No, but it doesn't sound hard. It should be fun because if you want to make them, okay, if you want to make these T-shirts and sell them, what you really need to do is find out who's going to buy them.
Okay.
What their options are. If they don't want to buy yours, whose can they buy?
I'm the only one.
but they might buy a different T-shirt. Remember, there's lots of other T-shirts they could buy. So although yours is maybe this only this exclusive design, okay, remember, there are people who buy Nike shirts. There are people who buy Reebok shirts. There are people who buy concert T-shirts. There's all types of things. So they buy them, and luckily this is a product that is used up. Eventually it's thrown away, and they need to buy another one. So it's a product that has built-in obsolescence. Okay, it wears out over time.
So that was a big word.
Thank you. Built-in? All right, so you're on the right track in the beginning here. You've got a product like that, but you've got to start with your baseline. Where are you in this? So tell me a little bit about where you are right now. Where's your groundwork? Describe, if you were to come to me and say, Marty, I need you to give me $10,000 to start my business. This is what I want to do. Tell me why I should give this, where you are right now in the whole scheme of things.
The whole scheme of things is in my head.
Okay. All right.
So,
but I understand that. But okay, Let's say you're writing it out. All right. The scheme of things is in your head. You have an idea in your head. But tell me what the idea is. Tell us whatever you feel free to tell us. Tell me about the market. Who do you think could buy this? Where are you going to sell it?
So it would be more of a funny shirt.
Okay.
So it would be making people laugh. And
right,
people that are buying it would make them laugh, and people that see it would make them laugh.
Okay, so
I think beginning it would be on like social media advertising.
Right. So they would buy it, and more than likely in the beginning you'd be buying it from print on demand.
Correct.
So it would be shipped to you. Okay.
To the buyers.
Right.
I'm thinking maybe having a website.
Okay, sure.
That someone could design for me.
That would highlight all of your stuff.
I would have, besides like Facebook, social media, having like an advertisement there, I'd have also on my website. So if they click on Facebook, let's say, it will go to my website, and then they could buy whatever.
There you
so
go.
So that would be the start of it.
Right, okay. So... and now in the beginning again, so you're going to start with this. You've got, what about the design? Is your design all done, or are your designs done?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, good.
I definitely have like an idea.
Okay.
And I have.
Wait, the idea or the actual design? Because it starts with the idea, because even this.
I do have the actual design.
Okay, good. Because you want to make sure you're at that point where it's finished and it's a finished quality where people are going to be, I like that.
I don't know if it's a finished quality. Like, I don't know the ratio of the letters compared to the picture.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah.
You're getting there. All right. So, good. So, you're well on your way there.
I'm well on my way.
Now, the next question is, and I don't expect you to necessarily know this right now, but let's say you're coming to me again, and you're looking at me as an investor. You would go to family and friends. You might go to a bank or whatever. I'm going to say, okay, so what are you projecting? And you're going to say, oh, I'm projecting to sell 1,000 T-shirts this year. That's my projection. That's my goal. That's what I'm shooting for. I believe I have the ability to sell a lot more, but I'm shooting for 1,000.
For the first year.
Right. There we go. So we've come up with that number as a guideline.
Yes.
Now I'm going to say, well, what kind of profit per T-shirt is there going to be?
Oh.
All right? Because if you...
I guess it depends on how much my print-on-demand is charging.
So this is something you're going to dig into right from the beginning, because you might now, as you're comparing different print on demand, you might find one place, oh, I'm making a little less money, but their quality is really good. You might go to another place and say, wow, their quality is terrible, but I'm making a lot of money off of them. You have to weigh the difference between the different things that you are going to offer, and that is going to be the quality, okay? Because are you going to be known for quality? Secondly is how quickly you can ship things, what the deadline is going to be, all right? And the next is going to be price. So you're going to think about that, because a lot of times you can say, I can get you a really, really great quality shirt. It's going to be way expensive. You're not going to afford it. And I can ship it next day. Well, no one's going to buy it. So you need to balance those three things. I'm going to ship it in a reasonable amount of time. Let's say you're going to receive it within the next couple of weeks. Okay, that's a reasonable amount of time. Here's a reasonable price for the T-shirt compared to other T-shirts of the same quality. These are not, there's a lot of big bargain stores that sell cheap T-shirts with funny designs on them. You're probably going to be more expensive than those. So if you're more expensive, the design, the comedy, the funny on the shirt has got to be worth it, as well as the quality of shirt. I'm willing to spend more money on a shirt that I know is going to last, as opposed to $3.99 on a shirt that I'm going to be washing my car in a week.
Okay.
Okay. So you have to weigh that kind of stuff out, and you have to get an idea of that and put that into your business plan. This is all the stuff in the baseline where we're at. Okay, this is the B, begin with the baseline. These are the things you have to kind of understand. Now, when we talked about, I said, if we brought in some other fictitious companies like a restaurant or something like that, obviously the restaurant's going to go, I need to buy equipment. I need to place my, you know, I need my location to be not necessarily surrounded by other restaurants, okay, because I don't want to lose to those other restaurants, but sometimes other restaurants also pull people in. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh. Because then all of a sudden
people... Is that why the car dealerships are all right next to each other?
Exactly. And same reason gas stations open across the street from each other, the same reasons, because it pulls people in. Oh. There's a whole mathematics behind it, but it's important to kind of know those types of things. So we begin with the baseline of where you're at right now. Okay, so A is attuned to your audience, and this is what we get into. And this is what you started talking about in a little bit in the beginning. And we did an entire show of understanding who your audience is. Who are these people? And what is the total number of people you could possibly sell to?
Ooh.
All right. And I know we joked in the beginning, well, I could sell it to every single person in the world. Every single person in the world. But that's not real. These are people who have the possibility of buying them. There's a certain age group that they're going to fall into. There's a certain demographic they're going to fall into. Okay, there are certain types of people, their wants and needs are different. Not everyone's going to want to buy a funny t-shirt. There are plenty of people who will never wear a t-shirt. Okay, they don't like wearing t-shirts.
Marty Jilov?
No, I like wearing t-shirts. I just like wearing these shirts a little bit more. Oh. Okay, but I wear very specific t-shirts. And so you get to a certain age and silly, funny t-shirts are less attractive to wear. Okay, I'm not going to wear them out as much. But certain ages are attracted to t-shirts. So you have to understand that demographic. So you really understand your audience, and you need to be able to do that. The more you know your audience, the easier it is for you to advertise to them, as opposed to just standing on top of the building here, the radio station, yelling, hey, buy my t-shirts. What you're going to do is you're going to advertise directly to where those people are. So that's the A in attune to your audience. Okay? Now, we get into this next thing, and let's just say... Again, so you understand what I'm saying about attuning to your audience, right? Connecting to your audience. You got somebody's texting you?
Yeah, one of my investors.
Nice.
It's not just t-shirts, it's hats, mugs.
Nice,
and
nice. Okay,
mouse pads
good,
and that kind
good.
Of stuff.
Okay,
so.
perfect.
Thank you, okay. Mr. Investor out there.
There you go. And this is see, this is important because, again, let's say this investor, and I think I might know who it is, but let's say this investor, there was no... You said, maybe you went to him and you said, I'm just going to do t-shirts. And maybe the investor came to you and said, you know what? You could also do hats and mouse pads and mugs. And this is another benefit of having an investor or a partner in the business, because they give you ideas, they give you advice. But as long as you're in the lead, you're the one, you can take their opinions, but you don't have to follow their advice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe they do that. They can, investors can give you sometimes what I mean is more than just money. They can give you opinions, ideas.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question as a business consultant.
Yes.
Okay, so on this print on demand,
yes.
Does all the printers do like mugs, hats, and shirts,
obviously not all of them. Some of them specialize just in shirts, but many of them specialize across the board.
Okay.
All right. And depending on what they want, there are some that you can make more money, but you're at the, you're kind of stuck with whatever they have, because sometimes the quality changes because they go, oh, we got a deal on this t-shirt. We used to sell those t-shirts. Now it's maybe they used to sell Hanes and now it's Fruit of the Loom, et cetera. They'll switch it on you. The higher end ones, which they're going to be selling for more money, and you're going to make less money. They're going to stick with higher quality, good products, and you have more control. And they offer a big variety of things to sell. So yes, you can do stuff. You will always find someone out there who has a business to print your stuff.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. So once you know your audience, what your audience wants, you start getting into this idea of your concept. Okay. About this is the clarity that ensures that you're not chasing a dream, okay? You solidify your business, what it stands for, and what you want to achieve.
But it's still a dream.
Well, it is, but you don't want it to stay a dream.
You want the dream
to become a reality.
This is what you have to say.
This is why I pushed you into saying, how many would I have to sell for me to feel successful? Okay? Because if you go into a business and you go, well, if I sell some, I sell some. If I don't, I don't. Okay? That is a fearful or a... A cowardly way to do it.
I'd rather be fearful than cowardly.
I know, exactly.
I'd rather be scared than being a coward.
Right, right. You know what my favorite coward is? Moo.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Anyway,
great. But what happens is if you don't set forth a goal for yourself, if you don't say, I'm going to hit this number, all right, you don't have anything to shoot for, and you can't deem yourself a success or failure, okay? And remember, just because you failed doesn't mean that you closed the business. It means that it's time for you to change and relook at the way you advertise.
Add socks,
exactly, and temporary tattoos, all kinds of stuff, right? Okay, so what you're going to do is you're really going to clarify what you're after, what you're going for, what success would look like, and really project it. How would you do that? For you to, let me just ask you a question, throw it out here.
Okay.
All right, for you to go, what would you think would have to happen for you to go from selling 1,000 t-shirts this year to next year selling 100,000 t-shirts? Okay, what kind of changes would have to happen? Would you have to print yourself? Would you maybe be printing actually yourself? Would you work with a local printer? Would you hire people? What are some of the changes that you think you would need to do?
Well, I guess it depends on the range, not just t-shirts, but yeah, the moon stuff. But I'm thinking, because I was thinking like stuff like this,
yes.
like at shops, maybe going to, the beach shops.
Okay.
So I'd have to travel to sell my stuff.
So you have to go, and so not only you, but you might hire salespeople to do that for you. Okay.
If I was big enough.
Right. Well, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. If you went from 1,000 to 100,000 t-shirts, that's 100,000 t-shirts. It might also be, 100,000 mugs. It might be all of this kind of stuff.
Right.
And remember, you can hire salespeople who work on commission, who will make the phone calls for you and start knocking on doors and stuff like that. So there's a direction like that. And the reason I want you to bring...
But then I would have a percentage going to my salesperson and the printer.
Yes.
And, well, then I'm not getting anything.
Oh, no. That's why you have... This is why you do the financial projection, so that you know that you can actually make this happen. Because the more you print, your printing costs should go down.
Oh, I see.
Okay. And you have to be able to say, can I fit a middleman in here? What if your idea takes off and a distributor comes to you and says, I want to distribute the shirts from you, but I'm going to need 20% of every shirt. I'm going to need 50% of every shirt. So in other words, we have to come up with a better way for you to print them
so that you can
sell them to distributors who will then handle retailers who will then sell them to the public.
Okay.
So how it grows, you have to be able to understand there's the possibility of a lot of other levels in there. A lot of new businesses, I see this whole thing, they go, oh, I bought this thing for 70 cents and I can sell it for $1. And they go, wow, I made 30 cents. And they never take the time to think about any of the additional costs that are involved, including taxes on the profit. Okay. Their time is worth something. Okay, and suddenly that 30 cents starts whittling away more and more. And then somebody goes, wow, I really like this idea. I would love to sell those things for you. Okay, and you're like, all right, cool. Sell them for $1 because that's what I've been selling them for. And they go, okay, I'll sell them for $1, but you have to sell them to me for 50 cents. And you're like, ooh, but I'm buying them for 70 cents. And you could see how quickly you would start losing money.
Right.
All right, so you need to be able to, when you project how big you're going to be, you have to project an idea, get an idea. Can you handle the growth?
Oh, I could handle the growth.
All right. But can you afford the growth?
That's different.
That's right. There you go. All right. So that is what we were talking about, is this whole idea of clarifying the concept of what's going to happen, where you're going to go with this. Okay. Now what you're going to do is I want you to always outline a solid operation. All right. At this stage, you're going to lay down, like we're going to call it the nitty-gritty, the how you will make the business idea reality. What are the steps? What are the operations? What's the first thing you're going to do? What's the second thing you're going to do? What's the third thing you're going to do? All those kinds of steps. How are you going to get marketing and advertising? How are you going to sell the shirts? All the stuff, the step-by-step, the daily operation. Okay, and this is the stuff that a lot of people are going, oh, this sounds so boring. Everything was going fine. Now I have to get organized. But yes, that's exactly what it is. The O stands for organizing or outlining your operation, all right? And you have to say all of that stuff because what happens is you're going to go, oh, I forgot to run that ad. Oh, I forgot to send out that order.
It would be, oh, Marty, you forgot to run the
ad. Exactly. There you go. That's right. Yeah, so that think of this. I like how you're like, oh, well, Marty can create the website. Uh-huh. Marty can do this. Uh-huh. Are you making enough money on the shirts to pay Marty? That's the question.
It depends on if Marty does a good job, then I'd be selling more T-shirts.
Oh, that's nice.
And mugs and hats.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, so what you need, you have to outline the entire business, the entire operation. So this way, you know, step by step ahead of time. And when you're laying that out, notice how the conversation we just had where I'm talking about, have you ever thought about if you ended up selling more, you would have to hire people to facilitate that. If you were working with a small printer now, instead of a print on demand, they may not have the ability to ship out individual orders. You might have to start taking credit cards, which you're going to pay a processing fee. There's all kinds of additional expenses that we never think of until we lay out the business plan and we start talking to the five people, the five best friends of a small business. Okay, you know who the five best friends are?
An attorney.
An attorney, bam, that's one.
An accountant.
Yes, that's two.
My husband.
we'll see. Maybe it may be depending on what he does.
A bank.
A bank, right? Because you want that, right? Right.
All right. Two more.
Yeah. An insurance agent, because you want to make sure you're being covered in case something happens. Okay, if you're liable for the things that you sell that you put your name on, you had better.
That's insurance.
Yes,
that would. I figured that would be your. If you're a corporation, LLC, a partnership.
Yeah, but that's who they would sue. But you know what? You don't want them to sue.
I thought that would be an attorney is where I'm saying.
Well, the attorney tells you how to set it up, but the insurance agent
is
the one who you have to get business insurance.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that you're properly covered.
Okay.
Okay. And then lastly, the fifth one is a business coach or a consultant, someone who can run ideas by, someone you can bounce ideas off of. Someone who's going to remind you that you need insurance before you start your business. All right. So those are the five best friends of a business. So that was good. You came up the first three. And I knew you were going to say coach right away anyway, but I cut in.
Yeah.
All right. So, so that's the outline, the solid operation. All right. That's organizing it. The final one here is the near and far future
the
projections.
Near and fear. That's exactly it.
The near and far future projections. You have to be able to say, we are going to grow to a point that we're comfortable with. Okay? I think we have enough time. There's a story about a businessman goes to some small beach down in South America, right? And he sees a fisherman, and he's just fishing right on the coastline, right? And he's pulling up fish, and he's making fish tacos right there. And the guy in the businessman eats them. He goes, oh, these are delicious. Are you going to be here for dinner? He goes, no, I only do this at lunchtime. This is all I do. I fish here. I make fresh fish tacos, and I'm good. Then I go home. I play the guitar. I just relax. And the guy goes, oh, my God, are you kidding me? You know what you should be doing? What you should do is you should start working all day. You should start making fish tacos for breakfast, for lunch, and dinner. Expand your business. And then what you need to do is, aside from just fishing right on the shore, you got to start bringing some more people. Start fishing from all over the shore. Start bringing in more fish. Eventually, you'll own a boat, okay? And then you'll bring more fish, building your business. And then from there, you'll have enough money to invest and get a fleet of boats. Ooh. And then do all of this. And he goes, why would I want to do that? He goes, because then at that point in time, you can retire. And when you retire, then you could sit at home, watch TV, play music, and just do everything. And the guy goes,
that's what
I'm already doing, right? So the idea here, the thing I want you to think about is grow only as large as you want to grow, okay?
Yeah.
Becoming the next Amazon is not necessarily for everyone. Not everyone wants to be that, nor not everyone can be that. So grow as big as you want to grow. The audience, as big as the audience, the area you want to sell to. Be true to yourself. Be true to your passion. So that's what's really important. And so when we say future projections, be honest and real with yourself. I only want to get this big, okay? I don't want to get really, really big. I don't want to have to go to T-shirt conventions all over the world and compete. And suddenly,
maybe,
right. Yeah, there you go. They have good hors d'oeuvres at conventions. So what you want to do is start writing what is going to happen in the near version? What's going to happen in 2024? What's going to happen in 2025? What's going to happen 10 years from now? Okay, start coming up with those kind of projections. And remember, those kind of projections, those goals, those ideas, the thought of where we're going to go, those can always change. Okay, but it's important to start with something. Because like I've said in the past, a destination is just a direction. Growth is the goal. Okay, so a destination, the idea, we say, this is how big I want to grow to. The destination is just a direction. It tells us this is the direction I want to go into, but growth is our goal. This is how we want to grow. What do you land in an airplane there?
That's what you're doing.
I was doing that. Yeah. All right. So Tiffany, we're almost at the top of the hour here. So tell me, give me a little idea here. What did you learn today? What's the most important thing you learned today about business plans?
Print on demand.
That's what you learned about print. Oh, good. Good.
Your five friends.
Yes. Okay.
You have to have a goal. You have to be organized and write everything down.
All right.
You need to know your business objection.
There you go. Objectives.
Objectives.
Yes.
That's
close.
Yeah.
Objections. You need the objections too, but objective right now. Yes. All right. All right. I think you got it. Yeah. I think you're good. It takes some time. Don't worry about writing it and getting it right the first time. You're going to write it and rewrite it and rewrite it, and then keep working on it.
And then I'll give it to you, and you'll say, no.
All right. Well, Tiffany, like always, it's such a pleasure to have you back on the show like this. And I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in. If you missed any part of the show and you want to listen to more of it, go to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. This episode will be live in a couple of days, but there's plenty of other episodes, and you can listen to the first two episodes of Turning Your Side Hustle to Success with Marty Jalove and Tiffany. All right. Again, thank you so much for tuning in to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness on WRLR 98.3 FM. Thank you, and tune in next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.